Thessalonians chapter 5, and we'll bring a message from this passage tonight. I announced this morning, I thought I'd be preaching out of 1 Samuel 22, I believe it is, 23. Had the message about three-fourths done on paper, but just I had this thought. I told you about this thought a couple of Sunday mornings ago, and could not get it off my mind. I wanted to come to this passage tonight. Let's stand together, please. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And we're going to begin reading in verse 23 this evening and read down through verse 26. Please join me on the even-numbered verses as we read down through this passage. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with an holy kiss." Let's pray together. Our Father, we bow before you tonight with a thankful heart for your good book. What a powerful book. I pray that you will speak to our hearts from it tonight. As we open these pages, Lord, may your spirit have complete control of everything that is said. Lord, not only that, but everything we think about. May our minds be concentrated. May our hearts be tender. May our spirits be yielded. And I pray that the good Spirit of God could do a good work in our hearts this evening. Well, thank you for it. We love you and appreciate you for all you do. Truly, we are blessed beyond all measure. Thank you, God. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you, BC. This week, about a tenth that speed, amen, and a little more emphasis on the fly away, amen. It was fun. It's been good to have David and Cindy Oswardy here visiting this weekend. I say visiting, although they're not visitors, it's good to have them here. And Stephanie Gilbert will be leaving for school her first year. And she'll be here Wednesday night, though, right, Stephanie? But if you won't get to see her, be sure to speak a word of encouragement to Stephanie. Thank the Lord for these. Counting the Oswardy, David and Cindy, there'll be 10 up at Providence this fall. And don't forget about old Tom Austin, who's still plugging away up there, doing a good job. I appreciate him. Always enjoy seeing him when I'm up there. Tom's not going to set the woods on fire academically, but he's a plotter, gets the job done, and he's a blessing. Students enjoy him. He's a lot of fun. And that'll be a blessing to be back up there in school in just a few weeks, teaching on Thursdays. as we have these past 7 years. All right, verse number 26, greet all the brethren with an holy kiss. And all the teenagers said, amen. All right, so, but unfortunately, I'm not going to encourage you in that area tonight. You don't need any encouragement in that area, I'll promise you. So you need discouragement in that area, right? But I want to speak on this subject. There's a welcome here, isn't there? There's a welcome here, isn't there? Let's pray together. Our Father, thank you tonight for this place. Thank you for this church. Thank you for this pulpit and the privilege to preach to these people again. There's no place anywhere in anybody's church where I'd rather preach than right here to these dear people. We talked about them this week to the folks in Arkansas. And Lord, thank you for the good, faithful people you've given us here. Thank you for the many visitors that have come our way the last several weeks. Lord, help us to be as a church in this specific area what we ought to be. Challenge our hearts from the message tonight. Give us your power, I pray, in Christ's name. And amen. When I was saved, we would travel. And at the boys' home there, we would travel to churches to raise support. Boy, you know what I did this week on the way to Arkansas? I listened to Lester Olof's message, Pawing in the Valley. It's been so long since I heard that. Man, my heart just filled up with joy. I wept, tears came down my face as I remembered back to him and his ministry and that great message he preached at pastor school, Pawing in the Valley. Most unusual man, never had an outline. And you could tell it in his preaching. He just went from one thing to the other. But we would travel and listen to tapes like that. That's what made me think of it. And then we'd go to churches and we'd give testimony and sing. The singing wasn't much from a bunch of 13 boys that couldn't carry a tune, most of us. But a lot of those churches we were in, they would have a time like we do of shaking hands, greeting people. And the song that they would sing during that time would be that little chorus. There's a welcome here. There's a welcome here. You're familiar with that, right? There's a Christian welcome here. Hallelujah. There's a welcome here. There's a welcome here. Sometimes they'd have the visitors stand and people would go by and shake hands while they sang the chorus and so forth and so on. That song going through my mind. There's a welcome here. I hope that can be said about our church. There's a welcome here, isn't there? I hope there is. Now, Paul closes the book of 1 Thessalonians with several brief one sentence or in some cases three or four word commands. The Old Testament has its 10 commandments. This might be the New Testament list of 9 or 10 commandments. And the truth of the matter is, if the members of a church would give themselves to practicing these commandments, I believe that church would experience a taste of revival. Look at them beginning in verse number 16. Rejoice evermore. Boy, isn't there a lot of complaining? A lot of complaining. Just a lot of complaining. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks. Boy, that's tough. Everything. The flat tire, the broken down car. You know. In everything give thanks. Quench not the spirit. Despise not prophesyings. Prove all things. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Look at verse 25. Brethren, pray for us. And then he said in verse 26, greet all the brethren with an holy kiss. It's interesting. Now, I believe this is as important. I believe this is just as inspired and just as preserved as John 3:16 is. All if that's not enough to convince you, this command or a similar type command is repeated in 7 other books in your New Testament. That's 8 times this command or something similar is repeated. Now, folks, you're going to have to look a long time to find a command that's repeated 8 times. Amen. You're going to have to look a long time. In Romans 16:16, don't turn to these. Brother Greg, am I too loud tonight? Is it just, it's a little bit loud up here, Brother Greg, just a tad on the platform. Romans 16:16 says, salute one another with an holy kiss. 1 Corinthians 16:20, greet ye one another with an holy kiss. 2 Corinthians 13:12, greet one another with an holy kiss. Philippians 4:21, salute every saint in Christ Jesus. Colossians 4:15, salute the brethren which are in Laodicea. Now what's interesting about Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Philippians, Colossians, and this passage here in 1st Thessalonians, those are all letters written to churches. Okay. Then you get to 1 Peter 5:14, greet ye one another with a kiss of charity. And then you get to 3rd John, I like this one, 3rd John, verse 14, greet the friends by name. I like. Isn't that a simple statement? In your Bible, greet the friends by name. So there's something here. You see, the words salute and greet are the same. It means to enfold in the arms, to welcome, to embrace. Now, this was the greeting that was typical and customary in this day, in Bible days, and still in many parts of the world, a greeting of a little kiss on the cheek or an embrace is part of their culture. You know, I got down there this week, you know, that bass fiddle and banjo and mandolin and all that, folks, that's their culture. And you go there and you look at them and go. And they would come here and they would go. It's their culture. And yeah, I was down in Argentina, Joyce and I, when Brother Harrison and Judy were down there. And I told you before, you know, those people, they gave that customary greeting for that part of the country. They would come, put a little kiss on your cheek. That's what they do. They take your hand and a little kiss on the cheek. There's nothing sensual about it. There was nothing intimate about it. It was just a greeting. They do that in the Middle East still. They do that in Russia. In Russia, we saw the video, and David and Cindy's dad, Brother Don Osworthy, went to Russia where those Christians in those churches kissed right on the lips. Now, they tried that to Dennis Coral, but they didn't get very far. Amen. Coral, I saw that Brother Vineyard told me just that's how it is. I bless God. You know how Denny is. You know, he said, I just stuck my hand out there. He's dropped him cold. I would know. I don't know why you want to kiss Brother Coral anyway, honestly, man. Oh, mercy. Oh, that's bad. Oh. But what's customary in our culture, what's customary is a handshake. This is what's customary here. A good, firm handshake. Is that customary in Mexico? Yeah. Okay. Okay. That's customary. That's customary. That's the culture. Now, the principle here, whatever the culture is, the principle here is mentioned over and over again. Christian greetings and welcome should be extended to every brother and sister in Christ. That's exactly what this command is saying. Spurgeon said, and I quote, Christianity delights in sincere and loving courtesies. I like that. Folks, you don't have to be a fundamentalist that's heavy on the middle syllable. There's nothing encouraging about that. There's something about standing for truth with a smile on your face. I like what Brother Howells used to say, if anybody gets offended at me, I hope it's over my position, never my disposition. That's what he said. Now, the truth is, a New Testament church should be the friendliest, warmest place in town. No doubt about it. The friendliest, warmest place in town. Now, you teenagers, you need to relax. I'm not going to promote that we start kissing around here, as I said earlier, instead of shaking hands. But the truth is, a very important part of Christian charity is extending a warm and sincere welcome to all believers. I'm going to take this phrase tonight and give you a simple 3-point outline. Number one, greet. Greet. And in many places, the word is salute, but it's the same thing. It means to welcome. It means to shake hands. It means to say, how do you do? It means to say, glad that you're here. It means to say, thanks for coming today. It means to say, so glad to see you, you see. And by the way, I do not see the word pastor in front of the word greet. I don't see pastor greet all the brethren. The truth is, the pastor should welcome people. The pastor should greet people. The pastor should shake hands with people. But to visitors, that's kind of expected. In fact, it really doesn't make much of an impact if the pastor shakes somebody's hand. It really makes an impact if he doesn't. Because that's expected. You know, I have a little old cute song called Excuses, Excuses. I hear them every day, and people give the excuses of why they don't come to church. You know, and one of the ladies in the group, you know, sings, he got mad at the pastor. He didn't even shake my hand. You know, you've heard that little chorus, that little song. You know, and that's the truth. They don't get all excited because the pastor shakes. It's expected of me. It's expected of these men who are on the platform, who are on the staff. But when a visitor has his or her hand pumped by 150 to 175 different people in the pew as well as on the platform, boy, that makes an impact. That makes an impact. Makes more of an impact than if I do it. I do not see the word adults in front of this command. I don't see dads greet all the brethren, moms greet all the brethren. I see greet all the brethren. Yeah, that means teenagers can greet people. Yeah, I get tickled sometimes at the council meeting we have back here in the foyer before church sometimes. You guys notice that council meeting back there. I don't know what they're taking care of, but buddy, I'm telling you, they're solving the world's problems back there. I promise you. And sometimes it may be 7 or 8, sometimes it may be 10 or 12. I mean, in that council meeting. You see it back there? It's like a bull ring. I mean, it's just a crazy, that's probably what it is. A bunch of bull. And great big old ring. And you boys back there solving the problems of the world. You know, I want you to visit and fellowship, but you know what? It'd be a good thing if maybe a couple of you boys just got excited about greeting people, going up and down the pews. And a teenage boy coming up and taking somebody by the hand and shaking somebody. I said, man, glad you're here today. What a ministry. What a ministry. You say, I don't know. I wouldn't know what to say. Well, remember what Brother Vineyard said years ago, and somebody told him, said, I can't go visiting door to door and soul winning. I don't know what to say. He said, I tell you what to do. He said, go up to the door, knock on the door, stand there. When the person comes to the door, go blah, 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 blah. He said, before you get to the next door, you'll think of something to say. Amen. And that's true. I tell you what to do, young person. You look them in the eye. You shake their hand with a good, firm handshake. Put a good expression on your face. And just say, man, I'm glad you're here. Let me ask you a question. Where do you go where a teenager comes up and greets you? Why not Faith Baptist Church? Why not? Why not right here? You know, think about an impact it would make on an adult man, his wife, some single person here visiting for the first time. If a teenage young man, you teenage young ladies too, of course, we're not trying to teach you to be aggressive and everything, but in the area of greeting, Christian greeting, I think it doesn't hurt you to go out of your way to greet people. Make them feel at home. I appreciate a particular teenage girl I'm thinking of right now. I think she's the friendliest teenage girl in our church. I see her often making people feel welcome. Truth of the matter is, who couldn't fulfill this ministry? Who couldn't meet these qualifications? Who doesn't have this talent? It's not about anything but good Christian courtesy. Greet, welcome. I preached Brother Stanley this week, Brother Mike Stanley. He's a precious fellow. I mean, just, I love mountain people. I love my grandmother came from mountain people. My grandmother was a mountain person. She reared in Cookeville, Tennessee, up in the mountains. Lived in a shack where the snow blew through the cracks. That's how my mom was raised. The snakes came in the dirt floor. I understand mountain people. Some of her relatives still mountain people. And they're precious people. They're very simple people. But precious people. And they love God. They love God. But Stanley is a third generation Baptist preacher. His grandfather was a Baptist preacher. His daddy, Jack Stanley, pastor down in Oklahoma, was a friend, an acquaintance, a contemporary of Brother Vineyard in Oklahoma. And Jack Stanley, some years ago, had a stroke, a pretty severe stroke. He cannot stand for long periods of time. He has to sit down. He couldn't stand to sing the congregational songs but a precious man. And the stroke left him without the use of his right arm. And the stroke left him, you know, the right side of his face is partially paralyzed. You've seen people with the strokes and their face is just a tad bit, you know, paralyzed there. And they can't talk out of that side of their mouth. They can't smile out of that side of their mouth. But there he is in the church. He can't preach anymore. But he came to his son, Mike, who is now the pastor. And then he's got a boy named Micaiah Stanley. Micaiah was here for the wedding. He traveled with the Oklahoma ambassadors. That's four generations of Baptist preachers in the same family. Tim Green preached the other night. On the night that he preached, on Wednesday night, when he preached after me, his dad was preaching in Michigan, and all three of his sons were preaching in different places in different churches in the States. There were five Greens preaching in different places in America on Wednesday night out of one family. A dad, Tim Green, and his three boys. Tremendous. Jack Stanley went to his son, Mike. He said, there's nobody at the back door greeting people when they come in. Do you care if I get me a chair and just sit back there and make that my ministry? Of course, his son said, help yourself. He went down to Friendship Baptist Church in Highland, Arkansas tonight and walked in before the service. There'd be a dear old preacher sitting there in a chair. He used to stand behind the pulpit and thunder with his voice and preach the Word of God and outline messages and have a good time preaching. Now he's sitting in that chair there, right arm paralyzed, cane, and greeting every person that comes in, slurring his words in some cases, extending that left hand and saying a word of welcome to every person that comes in that door. See, it's ministry. It's a ministry. It's called greet. Greet. It's in your Bible 8 times. 8 times. Great Commission is given 5. This is given 8. Greet. And then he said, number 2, he said, all the brethren. This is not some. This is not your favorite. Doesn't say the most popular. Doesn't say the inner circle members. It doesn't say good Christians. It doesn't say wealthy. It doesn't say the model Christian. It says all the brethren. All of them. It's the fringe members. It's the visitors. It's those who have not been faithful. It's those who may not look like Christians. Those who backslid. There's no distinction here. It's greet them all. Greet all the brethren. Do you remember the times when you visited the church for the first time? Maybe this church or some other church. Remember how you felt? We try to always catch a church service when we're on vacation. Always. One year we were driving down to Tennessee for vacation. We left on a Sunday morning. Emily Blanchett had her wedding here on Saturday, and Brother Ballard and I performed that wedding, and we left on Sunday morning bright and early, and we traveled several hours over here to Indiana. And I don't remember the town we stopped in for church, but we stopped in. And Indiana, they don't know what time it is over in Indiana. Some people are on Eastern Daylight Time. Some of them are on Eastern Standard Time. Some are on Central Daylight Time. Some are on Central Standard Time. Indiana does not know what time it is. We stopped for church that we thought was for Sunday school, but it was an hour ahead. So we got there about 20 minutes till what we thought was 10. It was 20 minutes till 11. Sunday school was already underway. And so we're standing in the foyer. Nobody says a word to us. You'll appreciate this. Nobody comes up and says a word to us, but a fellow from one of the homes. With his lemon jacket and his red hair, and I don't know all he had on, and he came out to the foyer, and wow, and you know, I mean, you just, you know, I don't mean to be ugly, you know what I'm talking about. Wow. And he tries to hug everybody, gets to Abby, and gives her a great big hug, you know. I don't know if she was the only one that received it or what, I don't know, but do you remember that? This great big old, wow, crazy. We're all just standing there going, okay, is this what the whole church is like, or what do we got here? Yeah. Usually those people are the friendliest. Sometimes we've stopped in churches and sat down in pews, and people come in, they pass by you, and they look at you, and maybe they take a second glance, and they just keep walking. Well, you feel odd. Look at you, and then they look again, and maybe they even turn around, but nobody says hello. I've made visits on people, you know. Pretty soon, here comes the man in the suit and tie. A big grin on his face, and sure enough, it's the pastor. But again, that's expected, isn't it? Kind of expected. I've made visits on people and families for 15 years in this area. I've had all kinds of responses about Faith Baptist Church. You heard one of them last week, Damian Domitio, said, didn't he say, friendliest church he's been in? He served in his message last week. I've heard that. I've heard friendliest place in town. Friendliest church ever been in. I've also heard no one shook my hand. I've heard that. Now, in some cases, the no one shook my hand guy is the type of person who would be hard to shake hands with. But that shouldn't stop us. That should not stop us. Look over at Matthew chapter 5, if you will, just for a minute. Keep your finger there in 1 Thessalonians. I mentioned this verse to the Sunday school class today, the men's class. Look at Matthew chapter 5, just a minute here. Boy, these verses, they really pierce your heart. And that's what they should do. Verse 43, Jesus said, Matthew 5, that He's raising the bar in this chapter. Now that grace was on the scene, grace was going to take behavior up a notch over what the law demanded. He said, ye have heard, verse 43, that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. And by the way, the Old Testament does say that. But I say unto you, love your enemies. And bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Verse 44, 45. Look at verse 46. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? You see, I don't get a medal for coming in here shaking hands with people who are members of this church. I don't get a medal for going down the up and down the aisles and being friendly to folks who are here Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I mean, they're in and involved. I don't get a medal for doing that. What reward have ye? You love them which have you. So what? No big deal. Do not even the publicans the same? And look at verse 47. In light of the verses we looked at in the New Testament books of the epistles, look at, and if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? You're no different than lost people. All you do is extend your hand to your crowd. All you do is extend a welcome and a greeting to that bunch that you're familiar with. You're not any better Christian, Jesus said, than the public. You see, that's not what Jesus taught us. So maybe, you know, you need to get down there to Paul in 1 Thessalonians. Maybe that's why God told Paul to write, greet all the brethren. All of them. Don't just salute your crowd. The truth of the matter is, everybody has their particular group of friends, their buddies. Everybody in this church has their comfort zone. People you feel comfortable with. People it's easy to talk to. Maybe there's a common bond. Common interest, common recreation, common hobby, common vocation. It's just easy to converse and talk. You're in your comfort zone. But oh, the power of welcoming all the brethren, huh? And that, like I said a couple Sundays ago, that's more than just one handshake. Just because you've introduced yourself one time and shaken a guest hand once does not mean our Christian duty is over. Every time they come, man, good to see you again. Good to see you. We've had a lot of visitors lately. God's been good to us. Some of the result of door knocking, some of the result of God just sending. And just because, you know, when I shook his hand 3 weeks ago, introduced myself, told him I was glad he was here. It's been 3 weeks. Every Sunday, every service, you know, what's wrong with some of you teenagers reaching out to the fringe teenagers and say, hey, you want to sit with us? It's okay with your mom and dad? I'm talking about your mom and dad, where you're sitting, most of you sit with your moms and dads on Sundays and even Sunday nights. I'm glad, I'm for that. I think that's wonderful. But if you folks don't care, Mom, can I go back and ask this girl rode the bus today? Can I go back and say, hey, you want to sit with us today? Can you sit with me? You want to sit with us today? This is what it's talking about, folks. This is decent Christianity. You know, sometimes after the service, I walk through the foyer back here. It's crowded and I enjoy that. I love that. I love it when the Lord's people are fellowshipping and hanging around. Boy, you don't want to be the part of a church where when they say the last amen, it's chow. Now some people have to leave. Some folks have got to get up, crack a dawn, and go to work, and I understand that. But man, I like it when folks stay around and visit and fellowship. And boy, sometimes in that foyer back there, it's loud and there's laughter and there's talk and there's fellowship and there's Christian fellowship. I mean, just, and I'll see a couple standing there, maybe a husband and a wife, just all alone, kind of off to the side. Boy, I just hurt for them. So badly it would be just somebody to go, besides the pastor, somebody just to go up and make a conversation, just force the issue, find a common interest, find something to say where you both can just develop a conversation there. I remember being in 1976 September, Howes Anderson College, from Georgia and Tennessee, and I knew nobody. That's a big place. And I knew nobody. Not a person. Not a person in the church, not a person in the college. Nobody. I'm standing in that long. My parents dropped me off and left. I'm standing in that registration line. It's all so new to me. I've just been saved 10 months. That old black horn-rimmed glasses. Fundamentalist haircut. My dark green, forest green blazer, my lime green pants. Pathetic. There I was, buddy. Ready to tear the world down, you know, tear the world apart. Reach the world for Christ. Standing there, didn't know a soul. Man, I felt so sick, homesick. And all of a sudden, this shorter guy, about this tall, just came up to me out of the blue. Hey, man, what's your name? My name's Terry Angel. My name's Dan Parton. I'm a senior here. Are you a freshman? A senior. I'm a freshman. Are you a freshman? Yes, I am. Hey, I'm glad you're here. It's a long line. It'll take you a long time to get through it, but you know what? Once you get at that certain point up there, it actually goes pretty quick and blah, 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 blah. And that senior stood there in that line for 10 minutes, 15 minutes, and did nothing but just visit with me. And I was won over. Dan Parton's a friend to this day, pastor out in Colorado. His son came here in a tour group from one of the colleges some time ago and sang in the pulpit here with the other fellows. Dan Parton. That broke the ice for me. Made me fit in. Because one man went out of his way to greet all the brethren. After 4 years of college, you got your buddies. After 4 years of college, you got your friend. You got your little circle. His comfort zone. Thank God he went outside that. Shook my hand. This is not chandelier swinging, shouting message tonight. I'm not screaming and jumping around, stomping my feet tonight. It's more of a pastoral message. But friend, I'm telling you, don't miss it 8 times in your New Testament. God didn't repeat himself because he ran out of something to say. Emphasis. Greet all the brethren. Greet all the brethren. Number 3, with a holy kiss. Now you know what this would do? This would eliminate all sensual, improper touching and hugging. I've been in those churches where the pastor just is blessed, you know, to hug all the women. I got a problem with that. There's a way to properly fulfill this command and not violate 1 Corinthians 7:1, where it says it is good for a man not to touch a woman. There's a way for a man to extend his hand, look a woman in the eye, in the eye, in the eye, in the eye, in the eye. Say, I'm glad you're here. A way to do that. With a holy kiss. Nothing impure about this. Nothing sensual about this. Nothing improper about this. It's holy. By the way, this would also challenge us to keep our hearts free from ugliness towards another brother or sister in the church. When you get ugly towards somebody, you don't greet them. You just avoid them. Don't speak to them. Because it's hard to plaster a fake smile on your face and say, oh, good to see you. In your heart, there's drawn swords. Psalmist said that. His words were smooth as butter, but in his heart was drawn swords. You know, maybe fulfilling this command challenges you to keep your heart free from that kind of stuff. Get it out, friend. Church will never experience more damage from the outside than it will from the inside. Criticism, griping, biting, complaining, back and forth, innuendos and statements about people that are half-truths and so forth and so on. But if you're in the business of fulfilling this command and greeting each other with a sincere, holy greeting, it's going to be easier to keep your heart free from that. Are you with me in my church? You understand? Sure. Free from ugliness, free from bitterness. And not the kind of greeting that has an edge to it. I cringe. Somebody who's been out of church shows up, and the first thing they hear is some non-thinking member say, "Hey, backslider, where you been?" I've heard that. Now, I haven't heard that here. But I heard that at Marion Avenue. Marion Avenue has a long, when you come in the front door, it has a hallway that goes to the basement, then you go up a long set of stairs. I guess there's a dozen stairs, steps there, maybe more, 15. I was standing at the top of those stairs one night between choir practice and the church service, and a lady in the church standing over there, we weren't talking, she just happened to be there. Somebody came through those glass doors down there that had been out for a long, long time. I was so glad to see them. And I was just getting ready, raising my hand and saying, ready to say, "Man, good to see you." And this woman said, "Hey, backslider, where you been?" I wanted to push her down the stairs. That's the truth. On her head. "Hey, get this person a visitor card." What's that supposed to mean? Much as I've been gone, maybe I need one. I'll raise my hand next week. "Let's see. What's your name?" What kind of nonsense is that, folks? What's that help? Who's that a blessing to? What's wrong with, "Man, it's great to see you"? What's wrong with, "Hey, man, I've missed you. Good to see you, babe"? What's it with me tonight? If you've ever been out of church, you know how hard it is to get back in. And you start thinking, "Man, I need to go back. Boy, there's just, what are people going to say? What are they going to think? How are they going to react?" And that person finally takes that step, and to be met with some insane, idiotic statement is not of God, it's of the devil. Tim Green brought a great message out of the book of Matthew, where the disciples came to Jesus. Jesus said, "Whom do ye say that I am?" And Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And then he read that verse, and he said, "I want somebody to time me as I read the following verses down to verse such and such." It was where Jesus said, "I'm going to the cross." And Peter said, "Not so, Lord." And Jesus said, "Get thee behind me, what? Say." In this verse, he said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And what Jesus said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." So who is behind Peter's words there? The Heavenly Father. And here he says, "Not so, Lord, you're not going to the cross." And Jesus said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." You know, who's behind his words there? You know how long it took him to read from there to there? 76 seconds. And his message was, "Who's using you?" So in 76 seconds, Peter went from being used of God to used of Satan. 76 seconds. It was quiet, about like it is here right now, you know. "Where you been, backslider?" "I don't think God's using you." me give you these 10 things. I won't preach them. Speak to people. Speak to people. Hey, how you doing? Hello, good to see you. Hey, good to see you. Hey, how are you? Hey, how are you? Hey, good to see you. Hey, speak to people. Don't walk around here like a mummy, folks. Speak to people. Smile at people. It takes 72 muscles to frown. Some of you work awful hard. It takes 14 muscles to smile. 72 to frown. Smile at people. Call people by name. Nothing like hearing your name. Nothing like somebody new. And it's hard to remember names, isn't it? Be friendly and helpful. Do you know where the Sunday school classes are? Well, that's the usher's job. No, no. I don't see ushers greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. Be cordial. Speak and act as if it's a pleasure to help them. Be genuinely interested in people. You know, it doesn't take much work. You can like somebody. Be generous with praise. Hey, what a good-looking family. Be considerate of people's feelings. Be alert to give them service. Ask them to come again. That's 10 simple things that you can say. There's a welcome here, isn't there? I hope so. Many years ago, Robert B. Brown of Washington, New Jersey, was traveling through Georgia. He was lonesome, homesick, sad. He stopped on Sunday morning at Andersonville Methodist Church, Andersonville, Georgia. He's lonesome. Never been there before, didn't know any of those people, but he was warmly greeted by the people and people he would never see again. Shook his hand, said, "Man, we're so glad you're here." He died at age 90. When he died, someone commented he was a man who kept to himself. When his will was made public, everyone found out that he left his entire state to guess where? Andersonville Methodist Church. He owned 2,100 shares in American Telephone and Telegraph Company. He owned 740 shares in the Continental Can Company. His shares in that time period were worth $178,302.50. Left it all to the church. In the letter his attorney wrote to notify the church, he wrote this: "My client told me that on a Sunday morning years ago, when he was traveling through Georgia, he was sad, lonely, and homesick. He stopped at your church. A friendly welcome was accorded him. He never forgot the kindness you showed him. He didn't have any church affiliation, and he wanted to give what he had to that, quote, friendly church," end of quote. Pastor told the people, nobody could remember the man. Nobody remembered him. Kind of makes you think about Hebrews 13. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers. Many thereby have entertained angels unawares. There's a welcome here, isn't there? Every person's ministry ought to be one of greeting all the brethren with a holy kiss. When they leave, they may not like the preacher. They may not like what he said, but they'd have to admit, boy, that's a friendly place. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Simple message tonight, simple thoughts. Pastoral in nature. I hope God uses it for the well-being of the ministry here at Faith Baptist Church. Anyone here tonight say, "Brother Angel, I'm not sure that I'm saved. Pray for me. If I died right now, I do not know for sure that I would go to heaven. And that concerns me. Pray for me." Anybody like that? Would you raise your hand, please? Anybody like that here tonight? All right. If you've not been baptized since you've been saved, I would invite you to come and follow the Lord in believer's baptism. And take that first step of obedience. But church members, let's be friendly. Do not make assumptions about people when they come here. It's easy to do. Oh, they won't like it. That there, it's too straight and narrow for them. Recently, we had a couple visit that was interdenominational background. I visited their home yesterday. I hope you're listening. Last Sunday, he bought the book, The Trail of Blood, off of Larry Harrison's book table. He said yesterday, he said, Pastor, I have no idea that the Baptist church is not like all other churches. There's no year when it was started. So it goes all the way back to the days of Christ. I had no idea. He was eating it up. He was baptized in a different denominational church. He said, I need to be a baptized Baptist. That's what I believe. Don't make assumptions about people. They won't enjoy it. They won't be back. You don't know what God will do. Greet all the brethren with an holy kiss. Let's stand, please. Dear Father, bless, I pray, this simple message. May it make a difference in us and in our church. In Jesus' name. Are you friendly? Have you done your part? Could you do better? Have you been inactive in this ministry? Could you leave yourself, your comfort zone, and fulfill this command? Make an impact for Christ. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Ladies, bless us on the invitation. Would you come tonight? Let the Lord speak to your heart. Would you come while we wait? Step out this way. Greet all the brethren with an holy kiss. We all have our comfort zone. We all have our friends. We all have our circle. We all have them. Sometimes we got to get out of that circle, get out of that comfort zone, reach out to folks, make them feel welcome. Greet all the brethren with an holy kiss. Would you come? The Lord spoke to your heart this evening while we wait.